So it's January, and the thing that is on my heart to share with you guys is running your race. Now, some of you may have made New Year's resolutions and have already failed by now. Because that's kind of how it goes. We have these grandiose ideas of, I'm going to do this. I'm going to get up at this time. I'm going to do A, B, and C. And wow, this is just going to be amazing. And then about 3-4 weeks into it, you know, flesh is flesh. If you're trying to get up and you couldn't get up before January, you know, 3 weeks into January, you may still have trouble getting up. So, but whatever our goals are, it doesn't matter what time of the year it is. With God, we can always jump right back on and get going. And so today, one of the things that I really felt strong to say is that each and every one of us have a purpose. God created us with something in mind. He has a part that we bring to this world that nobody else necessarily has the same thing that they're supposed to offer. There are people that are going to cross your path that will never cross mine. You are going to shine your light to people that I may never get a chance to shine my light to. And God did that because he knew just kind of how there's 7 billion people on the earth, or is it million? Billion? Billion people on the earth. There's no way that one person can get the job done. It has to be a collective unit that is doing something for God. And so there was a specific plan that God said, okay, you're being born and this is what you're going to do. Now, if you look at Jeremiah 29:11, and I did give you a scripture sheet. It says, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. It doesn't matter what our past was. Sometimes we were born into a family that did not follow after God, or maybe they did, but they knew who God was, but they didn't understand his goodness. Or sometimes our childhood could be kind of difficult. And so you can wonder, was that God's purpose for my life? That probably was not God's best for your life. He probably did not intend for you to have to go through all the different things that maybe you've gone through. But when you're a baby, you are stuck with the family that you have and with the choices that your parents make. And that's okay, because God still gives us a will. And as we grow up and as we get older, there's things that we have learned, even from no matter what our past is. We can grow from it. A lot of times, God will use the difficulties maybe that you've had in your past to help you minister to other people that maybe have had similar difficulties or similar situations that they've gone through. And so God can turn even the past, turn it around to be something beautiful and have something for you to be able to go forward with and still be a blessing. And so God says that he has plans that are for good and not for disaster. And there are times where you can see disaster in circumstances and wonder, okay, I don't think this is what God has for me. And those are the times where you can stand and say, no, I have to resist whatever it is that is causing this disaster, because God said he had a plan that was good for me. And so he does cause us to overcome. He wants us to have a future and a hope. And that doesn't matter how old you are. There's still a future. Even if it's 10 years, that's still a future. And he has a plan for that future. And he wants you to have hope. It's not supposed to be something that we just kind of slide off into heaven, but it's something that we are running a race from now, from the day you're born to the time that you go and decide to go on to be with Jesus. It's a race that we're running. It's something that we're doing for him. Once we have made Jesus our Lord and Savior, he begins a work within us. And like I said, it doesn't matter what the past was. He begins this work within us, and he begins to direct our steps as we allow him to. If we give him the ability, if we choose to listen to him and to seek him and to say, Lord, what do you have for me? He begins to direct each and every one of our steps, and he wants to. He wants to be included in the different areas that you will allow him to include you in, to include him in. He is not the God that just wants to sit back and say, okay, have at it. That's kind of a, nowadays you kind of see parents do that with the little kids and just say, well, you just go play. And they don't necessarily direct them and teach them. They just kind of let them do their own thing. Well, God is the type that he, if we will allow him, he wants to help and direct us and teach us and show us so that we don't have to learn things the hard way. He wants to give us a plan, and he wants to show us this is the direction that I have for you to go. And so if you look at Philippians 1:6, it says, and I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. And so he began this work, and as long as we're following him, he is going to help us complete it. And so that when we are on our way to meet Jesus, we have this sense of satisfaction. When our life is over, it shouldn't be, I wish I did this, or I coulda, shoulda, woulda done something. It's supposed to be this, I'm done. I'm going to go see Jesus now. It's an excitement and just a, basically a promotion. We're being promoted to go and be in front of Jesus himself, get to see him face to face, rejoice with all of heaven and in who Jesus is, experience his love firsthand, not just through the world around us. We get to experience God's love, but not the way it's going to be when we get to heaven. When we get to heaven, it's going to be wonderful. There's no fear, there's no depression, there's nothing like that that kind of taints the love that we do feel here on earth. And so heaven is going to be absolutely amazing. But before we get there, he wants us to feel satisfied with what we're doing here on earth. And so he's begun this work in us. He's daily leading and guiding us as we allow him to. But it is a choice that we have to make to follow God. There are a lot of people that don't even choose to follow God, period. They don't choose to believe that Jesus is their Lord and Savior. They'd rather believe that they're going to be a fly in the next life. Go for it. If that, I'd rather believe I'm going to heaven. But, if that makes you happy and you're set to believe that way, well, you have that choice. But even as Christians, there are a lot of Christians out there that are Christians. They come to church and they believe God to an extent, but they don't allow him in their choices and the decisions that they're making. They don't ask him about things. They just kind of live life through their natural senses, and then hope that everything's going to turn out, and then say, if something bad happens, well, that must be God's plan for me. When they never asked him to begin with if that was his plan for him. They just kept trying to do things that they could do and that they naturally thought out, And then they get the results that they have. But that wasn't what God planned. God intended for us to go to Him. And we have to choose not to get distracted. There's so many things today to be distracted with. It's not just TV anymore. That used to be the big thing that you, when I was growing up, everyone was saying, you know, don't watch this. Music was the other thing, you know, that could distract you away from God and all that. Now you've got iPods, computers, iPhones. I mean, everything is in your face. All these, you know, texts and emails and Facebook. Facebook can be a huge distraction. I mean, you're having to keep up with all your friends. And some of them aren't even that close of friends, but they're still on there and they get to see all your business. You know, it's amazing what's out there that you can get distracted with sports. You can get distracted with a lot of activity. Always having to be busy. Our culture, if you're not busy, everybody's looking at you like you're weird. You know, because you have to have something to do. And if you're not always going, you know, well, goodness, what is wrong with you? You know, and you see that, especially when you have four kids. Oh, my goodness. We could be running like crazy constantly. There's always a birthday party, always some kind of activity that they would love for your child to be a star in. And, you know, just to go. And there's all these different things. And it is up to us to choose what God really, to find out what God really has for us to do. If we look at Hebrews 12:1, it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. So there are sins that can slow us down. There's things that we do that we put that as maybe a little bit more important than God. Anything that we put before God actually is not good for us. If something has more importance than God in our life, that is an avenue the devil has to distract us and to pull us away from what God has for us. And that's not to cause fear, it's just to help us to see things clearly. So there are times that if he can't distract you with sin, sometimes he'll distract you with doing tons and tons and tons of good things. How many times have you volunteered for something, and before you know it, it was just a small thing, but you were faithful and you were such a good person that the responsibilities kept going and going and going and going. And before you knew it, you were so busy doing a great thing for God that you no longer had time for God. That tends to happen. It's got the devil is pretty sneaky on certain things. He will do anything that he can to cause us to get distracted. A lot of times, God has a specific thing that he has told us to do, and instead of staying focused on that, we do that, and it's maybe small right now, what he's asked us to do. And so we see this shiny, sparkly, fun, exciting thing that's great for God. And we're like, well, I can do this and that. And so we start doing both. And at first, it's not that big of a deal. We're doing two things for God. Aren't we great? But then this starts getting bigger. And then we see, or maybe it isn't getting bigger. Maybe it's staying the same. So we see another sparkly, shiny thing over here, too. So then we're like, well, I can do this, this, and this. And before we know it, we're doing all these things that are exciting, we think, because it's new and it's fun, and so we're going after that. But what God told us to do was the first thing. That's what he told us to do. And he can't grow this first thing that he told us to do because we're doing B and C as well. And we only have so much energy and so much time and so many resources that if we're trying to do A, B, and C, something has to give. And so it's important that we are not distracted with the shiny, sparkly, fun, exciting new stuff unless that's what God is telling us to do. It's very important that we ask him, Lord, this looks like a great opportunity, but is this for me? Is this what I'm supposed to do? Or is this something that is that you have some other special person that is going to do this and do this well? And so Galatians 2:2 says, I went there because God revealed to me that I should go. While I was there, I met privately with those considered to be leaders of the church. This is Paul. And I shared with them the message that I had been preaching to the Gentiles. I wanted to make sure that we were in agreement for fear that all my efforts had been wasted and I was running the race for nothing. So he did a double check. He's doing all these great things, going to the Gentiles, telling them about Jesus, telling them the good news and saying, hey, this is so good, you need to know Jesus. He just came. He just died. You want to know him because he's the Messiah. So he's out there telling this to all the Gentiles. And he went back and said, hey, look, I'm doing a double check. Am I getting off? Is there something that I'm doing that I'm not supposed to be doing? Is there part of my message that isn't correct? And he went to get counsel to make sure that he was on track, because it's very easy sometimes when you're going down a certain road to get distracted or to get pulled or to maybe your message begins to change because you heard some new thing that's come out and you begin to infiltrate this message into what you're preaching or what you're doing or what you're sharing with others. But that's not what God intended for you to be sharing with other people. Maybe he has a specific thing that he wants you to share. Brother Hagin used to say he was called to preach faith. That was the area that God specifically told him to preach, was faith. And so teach his people faith. And so there's all sorts of different things that come and go. And one of the things that he said was really popular, we're having these big tent revivals. And everyone was telling him, you got to get a tent. You have to get a tent. Go get a tent. Get a tent. And he was just like, I had nothing on the inside to get a tent. But it seemed like a good thing to do. You know, everyone else was doing it. But he said, every time that I thought about it, it was like, no, don't get a tent. So he never got a tent. But everybody was telling him to do it. And so sometimes there's things, there's a pressure to do what was good. It was right for Oral Roberts to have a tent. God wanted him to have a tent. And it was right for some of these other ministers to have a tent. But it was not right for Brother Hagin to have a tent. And so there's times that we have to check, yes, so-and-so is doing this great thing over here, but that doesn't mean that's what I'm supposed to do. And we have to check on the inside. Is this what God is telling me, or am I getting pulled by what everybody else is doing? Let's look at 1 Corinthians 9:24. Don't you realize that in a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize? So run to win. It's very important that we look at our life as we've got all these choices, decisions that we want to make. We don't want to get so distracted by all these other things that may be good and not run the race that we're running. If you're not supposed to be the sprinter, don't go over into the race that's the sprinter. You know, if you're supposed to do hurdles, then run the hurdles. Don't run the marathon. You know, run what it is that you're supposed to do and do it well. And we'll look at Galatians 5:7. You were running the race so well. Who has held you back from following the truth? Just because so-and-so is doing this does not mean that that's for you to do. And you have to find out, where is God hooking me up? What is he having me to do? Stick with that plan and say no to anything else that takes you off of where God is telling you to go. So there's a few things now that I'm going to talk about goals and priorities. When you set goals and priorities, it helps you to stay on track. If you ask God, God, what is it that you want me to be doing? Now, mind you, our life is a long haul. Is the long haul. It's a race from beginning to end. It's not just this short little thing. We're running to the very end. So there's times that we may think, because of the knowledge that we have, that we're going a certain direction. But as we're going that direction, and God lets us keep going that way, but then he begins to tweak it so that we're kind of going more like this, whereas we were going like this. I'll tell you, when I was 9 years old, I decided that I wanted to be a singer. I wanted to be like Amy Grant. And so I just sang a lot. I also had other things that I wanted to be. I wanted to be president of the United States. I wanted to be, a detective. I really liked Magnum P.I., and so I was determined I was going to be a detective. But quickly those things, subsided, and I was pretty focused on music. I'm going to be a singer. And now it was fine for me to think I'm going to be the next Amy Grant at that point in my life, because it helped me to stay focused and it helped me to go towards the goal. But as I got older, I began to realize I finished college, and I was like, you know what? I wanted to get in this group and travel and sing. And God was so gracious, he let me immediately start traveling and singing with a group. And it was a Christian group, but we never sang anything Christian. I was like, what? So we went to all these fairs, and I'm singing Whitney Houston and just different things. And mind you, I was a classical singer at the time, and so I didn't sound quite like Whitney Houston. But, it was a fair. People got it as part of the package of when they paid, to get into the fair. So anyways, it was training. It was all good. But I always said if I couldn't travel and sing right away, I would go to Rhema, because I had trained my head and my natural abilities in college, and then I was going to train my spirit by going to Rhema. And so God was so gracious. He let me travel and sing for 10 weeks, and then the group went bankrupt. And I had 1 week to, my Whitney Houston wasn't making enough money for him. So anyways, I had 1 week to get my application in to go to Rhema. And so all that happened, and I ended up going to Rhema. But I'm just saying how I felt called that I was going a certain way and in a certain direction. But as I was taking steps and doing things, God, through the years, has been leading and guiding me. If you had told me that I would have ended up in Nebraska, married and starting a family there, when I was in high school or even in college, I would have said, you've got to be kidding me. I remember there is, this one gentleman that he kind of liked me, but he was going to Alaska. And I couldn't picture myself in Alaska. There's not a lot of people in my mind in Alaska. And so I couldn't imagine being this, thriving Christian contemporary singer in Alaska. It just didn't work for me. So, which it was good. I mean, that was my thinking then, and that wasn't the right person for me. And but God uses desires, and he begins to tweak them, and then as we look to him, my heart was to follow after God with everything in me. I wanted to do his plan and his will. And so he was guiding me and leading me. But goals and priorities are a way to help us to stay focused. If we don't have goals, if we don't know what God's plan is for us, then when all the things come that are distracting, they look good to us because we don't really have a focus. We don't really know where we're going and what we're supposed to do. So as a single person, or even as a couple, it is important that we make priorities. As a couple, it's important to make priorities together. It is so important. You're no longer individuals getting to go this way. When you're a couple, you are now going in the same direction. And so, you know, Jim and I, when we first got married, I'm still thinking, oh, maybe I'll travel around and sing. And, you know, he played the piano. Let's see, maybe we'll make that work. And that wasn't the direction that God ended up taking us at all. But as a couple, we began to realize, okay, where is it that God wanted us? And we didn't know right away when we first got married. And it wasn't right away that it was like, yes, this is what you're going to do. We didn't know. So we just volunteered in the local church, helped out wherever we could, and God eventually led Jim to pastoring. If you had told me when I was in high school I was going to be a pastor's wife, I would have said, no way. And I did. People said, oh, you'd make such a good pastor's wife. And I'm like, no way. I am going to travel and sing. I'm going to love them and leave them. Forget this bit of holding your hand and walking, you know. And I had always seen pastor's wife kind of get the brunt of all the nasty comments. I'm like, forget it. Who wants that? Now, thankfully, I have never experienced that. It's been so wonderful. I love being a pastor's wife. But I'm telling you, when I was in high school, if God had told me right then and there I was a pastor's wife, I would have said, no, I want the stage. I want the, you know, accolations that come with that. But that wasn't, but it helped me to, you know, as I followed him, it just helped me to do things that ended up getting me where I needed to be, where I am today. And so you have to get God's input and always be looking for that. What does God want for me to do? What is God, how is he leading me? And if you believe that you are in the plan of God, it really makes it easier when things get hard. If you know without a shadow of a doubt that you are doing what God wants you to do, then when rough circumstances come your way, you can say, you know, you don't begin to wonder, oh, I wonder if I'm doing what God wants me to do. I don't know, maybe that's a sign. That's a sign that God wants me. I made the wrong choice. No, you made a choice that you prayed about and you had peace about over here. And so that is what you have to stick with sometimes when the going gets tough. You stick with that choice anyways. And unless you just know without a shadow of a doubt that God is saying differently, you stick with that. You stick with that. He does sometimes change things because our thinking wasn't quite right. So we, like I said, I thought I was going to be this Christian contemporary singer, but that wasn't really where God was leading me. But he let me think that for a while until he was able to get it more clear to me what I was supposed to be doing. And so it's easier to have faith when you know that you're doing what God wants for you to do. It's easy to believe for finances when you know that that's what God has for you to do. If you believe that you are supposed to start a church in Andover, Massachusetts, and you don't know anyone, and you're going to have to start paying for a building, that, you know, you have one person coming for a while, you know, It's easy to believe that God's going to make the finances come. And he has, because we have felt very strong that this is what we're supposed to be doing. And he has, the bills have always been paid on time. Praise God. The finances have always been there. You know, people, no, it didn't look like we needed to move over here when we had 2,000 square feet before we moved into this facility. It didn't look like it. We had 14 people and 6 car spaces at our other place. And we still had a car space left. But we felt like this is where, you know, this is the next step. We didn't understand, but we did it. And God, I'm telling you, the rent was a lot more, and you had 14 people. But God continually has had the money, and everything has come in. And now, you know, you've got 3 times the square footage, got 3 times the rent. And God, I cannot tell you this last year just how all of a sudden God is bringing stuff in and resources. And we just stand back and just like, wow. I mean, the fact that all of our chairs are paid for, the fact that we have this, you know, really nice sound system that's completely paid for, we have the stage paid for, the sound booth paid for, all of that stuff happened. And we were just like, we're not twisting anyone's arms. We refuse to put pressure on anyone because we don't believe that God pressures. He wants a cheerful giver. He doesn't want a grudging giver. And so we're not going to pressure anyone. But when you know that you're doing what God has for you to do, you can have faith. You can stand and say, okay, if this is what I'm supposed to do, then that means the money's going to be there, the resources are going to be there, the abilities are going to be there. What I need to be able to do something, I'm going to have it to be able to do it. God, he is not going to lead you ever against his word. If you're looking to see what is it that God's plan is for my life, if something comes across your path and it goes against the Bible, that's not his plan for you. And so sometimes, especially ladies, I see sometimes single ladies, they will compromise and marry someone that's not a believer. And they will get themselves into such confusion and into such a state where, well, I really think that that's God's will for me. You're like, hello, the Bible says don't be unequally yoked, but they have allowed themselves to get caught up in the reasoning rather than allowing their spirit, checking in their heart and in their inward man. And they, it's because they have this desire, they don't want to be lonely. I think men can be like that too, but I don't talk to a lot of single men as much as I do single ladies. And so, but they have this desire to want to be married. And that overshadows, or that is more important to them than waiting for God's best. I don't want to be lonely anymore. Yes, but once you're married, you wish you're lonely. If you didn't get the right one, lonely may look a little better. So he's not going to lead you against his word. You know, he's never going to lead you to be too busy. He's never going to lead you to a job that's going to cause you to, for your family to fall apart because you're working too hard. He's not going to lead you and direct your steps for something that is going to be too much for you. If you're ever in a place where you are spinning, a good thing to do is stop and say, okay, God, what did I add that you did not have for me to do? What have I put into my schedule that you did not ask me to do? And like I said, It could be a wonderful, godly thing that you're doing. But that was meant for a different ministry gift to do, a different puzzle piece to fulfill that. That, you know, when you have a spot, your puzzle piece, it has a spot that it's supposed to be. And sometimes the piece can fit over here too, but just because the size of it fit over here doesn't mean that it goes with the picture. It can look kind of funny and out of place over here. And so you want to get into the spot that actually you complete that picture, that area of the picture. And so you want to make sure that you are doing the thing that God has you to do. And so anytime that you feel like you are getting too busy, take a step back and say, okay, God, what is it that I need to give up? Sometimes those are hard choices. Sometimes it's very difficult because you may even really enjoy it and you may even have this huge feeling of satisfaction, but it doesn't line up with your priorities. Maybe when you're doing this, it causes your marriage, stress on your marriage. And God would never have you do ministry at the expense of your family. And so if that is beginning to happen, you have to take a step back and say, hey, what am I doing? Am I supposed to be doing this? And the best thing to do is before you ever got into it, stop and ask, God, is this what you want me to do? But sometimes, you know, it looks really shiny and glimmery, and it's just fun. And you want to do it. It's a great opportunity. And sometimes we jump in because we think, wow, that must be God. There is no way that can't be God, but we never checked with God. And so if that happens, just take a step back. Say, God, is this really what I'm supposed to be doing? And then after that happens, then you can make adjustments as you need to. It's not the end of the world. You just make adjustments, and then you keep going forward. When you are making priorities, one of the first things that you have to do is decide what's important to me. Number one thing that needs to be important is whatever I'm doing, is this centering on God? Is this God's plan for me? Is this drawing me closer to God, or is it taking me away from God? If it's taking you away from God, it's not something to do. So that's an easy way to check. Okay, nope, I shouldn't do that because it's not going to allow me to follow after God. So I shouldn't go and do this. Another thing that you should check is this good for me? The things that I'm doing right now. Do I have time to take care of myself? If you don't have time to take care of yourself, then you may be a little too busy. If you don't have time for your relationship with your spouse, you are definitely way too busy. You have to make sure that whatever you're doing does not take away from your spouse. If you are doing something and it's taking away from your children, you have to make sure, is that really what God wants for me to do? So there are many, many ministers who have pastored churches or traveled around at the expense of their children. And their children have had a hard time serving God because dad or mom, a lot of times, especially in the past, it was dad. They seem like dad loved other people more than he loved them. And so it caused this pit between God and me. And I tend to get the bad end of the deal consistently. And so it would cause people to go away from God. And there's a lot of ministers that have a regret because they feel like the most important person is, you know, the people in their lives, they're not sure if they're going to even follow after God. That there's hope with that too. There's always hope. With God, there's always hope. So we want to make sure our priorities, when we have to make a decision, first of all, is it going to affect my relationship with God? Is it going to affect my body too much? Because we're in this for the long haul. You know, I had a friend that was amazing, just super talented. We sing some of his songs from time to time. I mean, he was very gifted, and he died at like 44. And, he could have had 40 more years of doing great things, but he ran so hard the first 44 years that he wore himself out. So there's times that we have to check, okay, am I doing too much? Am I going too fast? Am I wearing myself out? Because it would be much better for me to spread something over 3 or 4 years and be at rest and at peace and physically able to do it than to try to cram it all in by taking coffee and sleeping 4 hours and, you know, having all this adrenaline always go, 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 and then you're tired, you wear yourself out. So it's very important that we check, is it good with my relationship with God, with myself, with my spouse, with my children? Is it good, you know, even for the job that I have? Sometimes we make decisions, we have to decide, is that a good thing? Sometimes that promotion isn't really good for you, and you have to make choices and decisions and decide, is that what is good for me or not? Is that what's good for the greater, where I'm going, what my priority is this what's good for me? And if it's not, even if it looks like a really good thing, there have been times that people have invested in something that looks like a given. I'm gonna make tons and tons of money. It looks so shiny and sparkly, and it was calling to them, and they didn't stop and ask God if they should do it, and they ended up not making the money, and they lost money on it. And so you have to check, is this what God has for me? Forget the shiny, forget the sparkly. What does God have for me? So when you're making a decision, you want to always stop before you do anything and say, talk about it as a couple. If you're going to spend a huge sum of money, don't just spend it, check with your wife. Wife, don't just spend it, check with your husband. Make sure that you're on the same page, because it would be a lot better not to have the shiny new boat than to have an angry spouse that's nagging at you. You shouldn't have done that. Why'd you do that? And for 10 years, that's all you hear. Can't believe you did that. You bought that. You didn't even ask me. I would have told you. First thing, just check with them to begin with. Well, I knew she'd say no. Well, you know what? It was probably wisdom. It was probably the Holy Spirit trying to tell you through your wife. So God will do that. Sometimes he'll use our spouse to tell us something. And it wasn't that long ago where women really weren't allowed to have a big voice on certain things, you know? And so if the wife's saying, I don't think this is good for you, and the man was the type that was like, woman, you submit, then he just missed out on the Holy Spirit trying to help him. We're a team. We're a team. God can use the man to tell the woman, hey, you got enough shoes, sweetie. Why don't we put that into savings? You know, he'll use us to balance one another. And we're supposed to look at that person as a team member. And so it's very important to see if things will line up with your priorities by checking with your spouse. Our goal, when we meet Jesus, our goal is to say that to the best of our ability, we followed God. That's what, when everything is said and done, we didn't have to do it perfectly, but we did it to the best that we knew how to do. So when we're finished, we can say to our children and to our loved ones that are gathered around and say, you know what? It was worth it. If I had to do it all over again, I would follow Jesus. I would do it. And even if they're not following, you can tell them, I would do it all over again. I would not do anything different. I would follow God. I would have him as my Lord and Savior. I would not have gone back to living life without him. And so let's just end on these scriptures. We'll just read through them. Philippians 2:16. Hold firmly to the word of life. Then on the day of Christ's return, I will be proud that I did not run the race in vain and that my work was not useless. Philippians 3:14. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. It'll be so wonderful to get up there. You know, they say you're going to receive crowns and you're just going to throw them at Jesus' feet because you're going to realize, oh my goodness, I couldn't have made it without him this whole time. Sometimes we can get a little bit in pride here on earth and think, gosh, I'm doing such a good job. But when you see Jesus, you're like, oh my goodness, you are helping me the whole time. And you're just like, nope, you deserve it. And then 2 Timothy 4:7, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race, and I have remained faithful. What a wonderful way when, you know, we just went to a wake and a funeral this week. When I get to that point in my life, I want to be completely satisfied. I just want to say, you know what? I'm ready to see Jesus. Brianna, Andrew, Christina, Julia, you carry on. You keep doing what you're supposed to be doing. You keep following God and bless them and tell them how wonderful they are and say, I'm going to see you very shortly. And be able to do that, fully convinced that I made it to heaven, that I'm going to see Jesus, that I'm going to be in front, face to face with love himself. That'll be so wonderful. It's going to be a blessing.